What up, what up? Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another edition of the Boxing Voice Radio. I am your host, Nestor Gibbs, joined alongside Ringwalk Danny, and we're here to discuss the WBO ordering the title fight between Josh Teller and Teofimo Lopez. The fight's already in talks, Danny. It's all wondering, are we actually going to get it?
Yeah, look, man, Team Taylor seems to believe so, at least the members that I've spoken to recently, good friends of mine. You know, they're just waiting for me to get out there at this point. They're talking about the bars we're going to go to. You know, they're looking to give me a kilt to wear to the fight, you know, win in Scotland. I'd totally be excited for it. I think it's a great matchup. I think it's a fight that, honestly, both guys need. You know, the former disputed champ, Josh Taylor, did not really impress in his last fight. He's been very inactive since becoming undisputed. He is no longer undisputed, currently only holds that WBO 140-pound belt. But I think people forget or have seemed to have forgotten who Josh Taylor is. And, you know, obviously the same can be said for Teofimo Lopez. You know, Teofimo Lopez has not really impressed in his two fights since his lone loss to George Kambosos. And I think he's looking to prove a statement. He's going into enemy territory, you know, if the fight gets made. And, you know, he's going to come in with a chip on his shoulder and a lot to prove as well.
No real reason why this fight doesn't get made, as both boxers are with Top Rank. And the facts are that the WBO did send a letter issued to Top Rank, which both fighters are obviously promoted by, and it outlined the terms for what is now regarded as a mandatory defense. So Teo will be making a mandatory, or rather Josh Teller will be making a mandatory versus Teo, and I quote, "Please be advised that in the wake of the recent postponement of Josh Taylor, Jack Catterall, WBO voluntary title defense, WBO World Champion Committee is hereby ordering the commencement of negotiations for the mandatory title defense obligation in the junior welterweight division between Josh Taylor and Teofimo Lopez Jr. The WBO Champion Committee Chairman Luis Batista Salas stated to promoter Bob Arum via official letter, a copy of which obviously Boxing Scene has obtained and printed out here in their article. The camps have 10 days upon the issuance of that notice, Danny, which puts them at a deadline of February 24th, where they have to come to terms or go to purse bid, which, again, I don't see a purse bid situation when it's the same promoter, you know, unless Teo is going to have an outside entity once again promote against his promoter and Bob Arum like he did when...
Well, that is only if the fight does go to purse bid. So being in-house, if the fight can be made prior to purse bid, they would eliminate any outside, possible purse bid winners. You know, that being said, I think that the fight would be targeted for Scotland, you know, in Josh Taylor's hometown in his backyard, from what I'm being told. And look, man, we even talked about a castle being discussed as a possible location to hold the fight. So I think it'd be huge.
So what was interesting to me was that the WBO chose to order this fight off the back of asking for medical proof of Teller's injury in the voluntary defense of Catterall. They had a 5-day deadline, and even though, you know, they're not clear as to whether or not the proof was shown, but the fight was ordered within that time anyway. So do we know if he was able to provide proof? And it's now becoming consistent of the WBO to question their own champions. They did it to Charlo. They did it to Harrison, right? Was it Harrison? I know Castaño questioned Charlo as well, but they did it to Charlo. and someone else.
But here they are asking for proof from Taylor.
It's quite interesting.
Yeah, couldn't tell you off the top of my head, but look, man, hopefully it's a fight that does get made. I would not mind seeing it. Like I said, I've been in contact with members from the camp, and they're excited. You know, they're telling me, you know, Josh is in the gym, so definitely let's see what unveils itself. What, they got 8 days?
Probably less, but yeah, the deadline is the 24th. The minimum accepted purse bid for this, if it goes to purse bid, is $150,000 is what they would have to start with. Again, I don't know who else would bid outside of Top Rank. But we do have to state that, you know, Lopez, with his fight over Pedro Campa and Sandor Martin, had positioned himself to get the fight with, obviously, Regis Progre. And they chose not to take that because of the split, which would be 65 for the champion Regis and 35 for the challenger in Teo, and they instead went the WBO route, and they're still currently ranked highly enough to, you know, be in conversation with another champion.
Yeah, I mean, he's number one.
Yeah, it's crazy
the position that
he's like Andy Ruiz,
Leon Paro previously held. Yeah, you know, if it does, I don't think it goes to Persia. You know, I think they'll come to an agreement personally. You know, I believe they were already in communication and in talks prior to the WBO ordering the fight. Hopefully it gets made. Hopefully they can get that Edinburgh Castle and make the fight. Like I said, I think both guys, in a way, need each other, and I think it'll be an entertaining scrap.
Yeah, man, definitely a tough fight. Would you say... I mean, you have to, right? You have to say that Taylor is a tougher fight than Regis because Taylor beat Regis? Or does Styles make fights in that?
I do believe Styles make fights, and not only that, but, you know, boxing is a sport. It's kind of like, what have you shown me lately, or what have you done for me lately? You know, Regis impressed in his last performance. We haven't seen Josh in a while, but, you know, he's impressed in his big fights. You know, the Ramirez fight with the two knockdowns, obviously the Regis fight. So it's not going to be an easy fight for either guy, and the buildup is going to be amazing. Like, I can picture now that buildup is going to be phenomenal. I can't wait. It's, you know, hopefully they do make it happen.
Do we have quotes from, not on hand, but I mean, like, have you read headlines that Teal would be okay going across the pond? Because, you know, we seem to keep talking about this fight over there. How sure are we that, you know, he's willing?
Look, my source told me that they'd be willing, and obviously it's bigger there. It would be a pay-per-view over there. So, you know, I think finances played a part, or lack thereof, you know, in a potential Regis fight, obviously harder to make, you know, there, but Josh is in-house. I think that they'll come to an agreement. You know, and once again, I do think from what I've been told that the Lopez camp is more than open of going out there.
That's going to be interesting, man. Giving up home court advantage, you know, giving up that New York City area.
I mean, he's a world champion, former world champion, and looking to become a two-division world champion. And
yeah, I mean, but we also hear that the money's over here, especially ticket sales. You know, you can charge more here.
Well, I'm telling you, for this fight, the money's over there. So
I hear you. So we're going to do a poll, who wins and how, obviously, and see what you guys think and how you think they're going to get it done, because this is not an easy fight. This is not an easy fight. So we got Josh Taylor versus Teofimo Lopez. Who wins and how? Josh Taylor by KO, Josh Taylor by decision, Teofimo Lopez by KO, or Teofimo Lopez by decision. So come on over and vote right here at youtube.com/TheBoxingVoice. Don't forget to hit that thumbs up button, as it's going to help with the visibility of the show. It's going to put this episode in the eyes of other boxing fans. We are scheduled to have Hall of Fame
inductee
maker.
Yes, sir. Mr. Brad Goodman, he's here.
Oh, he's in studio.
Oh, yeah, he's here. So if you're ready for that Kenichi Bear commercial, we can go to commercial and
absolutely. Let's
get
cut
Brad
to it.
Settled in. Yeah, let's cut to commercial, guys. Make sure to subscribe and smash that like button while you're at it.
All right. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are in for a treat as we are joined with newly inducted, right?
Or you get inducted this summer, right? Guys, could we get his mic, please? Oh, there we go. You said
in June.
Yeah, this June. So congratulations, Brad, first and foremost.
Brad Goodman joining us in studio. This is one of the matchmakers over at Top Rank. Any other job titles you may have?
Nope.
Okay.
Not that I know of. I'm just Top Rank.
Just known. But you are known within the industry, you know, you and obviously Bruce as the best matchmakers in boxing. Have you heard that before?
I've heard it. You know, but, you know, we're humble about it, and we just let people, you know, say it, and we just do our job. That's what we're supposed to do.
We had a little bit of difficulty explaining, you know, he's like, any guests today? Our producer says, any guests today? And I'm like, yeah, we got Brad Goodman. And he's like, oh, so who's that? And he's like, is he a fighter or something? I'm like, no, he's a matchmaker. And he's like, okay, so what's a matchmaker do? And I was like, that's a good question. I guess the job is to make sure the A side wins, but you also have to entertain the audience. Or how would you describe
and develop the fighter at the same time?
How would you describe your job title?
Well, it depends. Matchmakers have a lot of categories. You could be a matchmaker working for a small club show where you can put on any kind of fight and just think like a fan. And say, hey,
Brad,
I want
to... Could you just bring the mic a bit closer to you? Thank you.
Good?
Yep.
Better?
Yes, sir.
Way better.
Think like a fan and say, hey, I want to make this fight and not protect you, guy. And I did that at the beginning. I did from like 2000 to 2006 at the Orleans Hotel. I put on barn burner fights where I didn't really care who won the fights. And I actually, that's where I built up Ishe Smith, Jesse Feliciano. I don't know if you guys, are you familiar with Feliciano?
Not Jesse.
But Ishe Smith, you know, he
definitely
became world
Ishe.
Champion. I did Ishe Smith and Alfonso Gomez.
Okay.
And they fought on the Contender. But I did their first two fights at the Orleans Hotel. And that's where Ishe got his break. But then you can work for a big promotion. And then you have to protect the A side, but yet sort of make it entertaining. A lot of times you don't get lucky and sort of like a mismatch. A lot of times at the beginning it is. You know, sort of lopsided and, you know, not that pleasing to the audience and stuff like that. But then once they get to an 8-round level and stuff, then you can match them, you know, according to where their ability is. And it becomes more pleasing and then you can just, you know, evaluate where their skill level is. And luckily, you know, we have certain guys, you know, where we know where they stand right off the bat.
Now, Brett, you know, you took it back to 2000 to the Orleans, obviously before being with Top Rank. But I want to take a full-time matchmaker with Top Rank. But I want to take it back to 83.
Mm-hmm.
I want to take it back to New York City when the story is you were 15 years old and you became like pretty much an assistant, like an errand boy in a sense for guys over at the Top Rank office.
Uh-huh.
I want to hear that story because obviously, you know, if you started as an intern at 15 to get into the Hall of Fame, that's a hell of a fucking run.
Well, it all started like this. Anything that my cousin did, I followed. Whether it was basketball, baseball, whatever it was, I just followed. He got into boxing. I never wanted a fight or anything, but I just followed it. Started looking at boxing magazines and started watching fights on TV. And my first fight, I watched, I want to say it was like in 70, I can't,
77.
Well, 77, my father took me to Shavers and Ali.
That was the first fight you attended. Okay.
I fell in love with Shavers. Shavers and Mike McCallum, they're my two favorite fighters. I love those guys, man. But that was my first fight. But getting to Top Rank, you know, when I was 15, it was my father's friend was the lawyer at that time for Bob Arum. And his name was Stan Hoffman. He's no longer around anymore.
Mm.
And one thing led to the next. Hey, there's a kid, you know, that likes boxing. Whatever. And I was just like any kid at 15. I was just doing clerical work as a messenger, ran around the city, did whatever I had to do. And I worked for a guy who was a Hall of Famer. His name is Irving Rudd. He was the publicist. And every time I would come back to the office, I would just go into the matchmaking office with Teddy Brenner, who was the greatest matchmaker that had ever lived, and Bruce. And I would just sit there, and I would just look at the board on who's fighting and, you know, and just stay there until I'd get another call. Hey, kid, you got to go out and run to Park Avenue or whatever, do another thing like that. And eventually I just, you know, got real close with Bruce, and I'd go on the road at 16, 17 years old to Atlantic City with them, and just one thing led to the next, and that's all I ever knew. I just know the boxing and Pittsburgh Steelers. That's all I know, man.
Now, during that time, I mean, when was it that you got into matchmaking? I mean, obviously you started to pick it up at a young age, but when is it that you started to officially matchmake? Was that in 2000 at the Orleans?
Really like 99, okay, and stuff like that. But here and there, Bruce would give me little, like, you know, gigs, you know, to you know, play around with and stuff. But really officially, it's sort of like in 99.
So during that time, were you working for Top Rank in any capacity?
I did Top Rank from 83 to 92. They went out to Vegas in 88. But the office in New York was still there, and I worked with Ron Katz and Teddy Brenner. They closed shop in 92, and then I managed Murky Sosa.
I know Murky.
I managed Murky
Sosa. I know Murky. He fought Roy at the Garden.
Exactly. I was there.
Yeah, he fought Roy at the Garden.
I was much skinnier and better looking.
Yeah.
But I was in the corner.
I know Ron. That's funny. So yeah. When did Ron start with Banner?
Ron taught me a lot.
Wow.
Ron taught me a lot. I owe a lot to him. You know, and then I went to Top Rank at the end of 99, you know.
Wow, so you probably matched some of Floyd's fights?
Yeah, yeah. It was Bruce, but I was under Bruce and stuff like that, yeah. Hodo, things
so
like that.
I don't think you gave an answer, or is it that you can't, for like what the job entails? Like the description of a matchmaker, like,
well, like
easiest
I said,
way to for someone to, you know, to
if you're working for a big promotion or a small promotion.
I mean,
it depends.
I don't know. I just want to be able to tell the guys in the bubble when they next time they ask me what's the matchmaker.
Well, let's do both. Obviously, you were putting on the small shows at the Orleans. That
there's no pressure. You don't have to protect your product. There's no product. Unless you have certain guys. And I did. There was like, you know, Dewey Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
He was a guy that I protected. But back then, the commission wasn't really strict. It was much easier, the commission. He was a big draw. Him and another kid named Eddie Salas.
Mm.
They were real big draws. Just those two would sell out the Orleans Hotel.
Now, was this in the arena back then?
No, it was in the ballroom.
Okay, the ballroom, okay.
And but with Top Rank, you have to protect your product, but yet you have to please your viewers. And if you don't please your viewers, and if it's a mismatch, and a lot of times at the beginning they are mismatches, you get ripped by the fans, and that's when you become humble. You get humbled by this stuff.
I gotta bring up Edgar Berlanga because obviously he is doing interviews saying that you guys wanted to protect him and he wanted bigger names, but he seemed to be in a bidding war. I mean, he claims to have had offers from Mayweather, from Al Haymon in PBC, obviously Oscar De La Hoya and Matchroom, who ultimately, you know, made him an offer that he decided to go with.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously this phrase was here before us, you know, one man's trash is another man's treasure. But I honestly don't see why y'all let him go. I feel like, you know, the Canelo fight was always there because boxing needs Mexico versus Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
Were you on board with letting him go, did you want him to stay?
Well, yeah, you know, but we just didn't come to an agreement, you know. Both parties have to agree. He had a different view. Top Rank had a different view. So we just wish him and his dad and the manager, and we wish them the best. I mean, that's all we can do. You know, we try to make it work. It just didn't. But we wish him the best. That's all.
So what would you have wanted him to do under the Top Rank banner had he agreed? Like, what three-fight plan would have been next?
Well, we mapped something out for him, you know, and I don't want to really get into the details and stuff like that, but they know what it was, and it wasn't to their liking, and they must have gotten a better offer, and that's where they went. And hopefully, you know, it works out for them.
And not to keep pressing, but that map, was it three or two fights? Because his last deal with Top Rank was only two fights.
Two fights.
Another two-fight deal.
Now, Brad, I got to ask, obviously, so many years, you know, I could think of a few fights that probably didn't go your way. But what fights do you feel like, man, I dropped the ball on this one? And what fights were you like, I got a gem, you know, I got it right with this one?
You mean with a fighter?
Yeah, yes, as far as the matchmaking.
Explain that to me.
Like so some would say, some would...
Like, you know, like I know right away, like this is the guy?
Well, no. So, for example, like some would say that, you know, the matchmakers probably dropped the ball with Lomachenko in the Salido fight, that it was probably a bit too much for him at the time.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, I just wanted to see, you know, that's from the outside looking in, but
yeah,
being in the business so many years, I'm sure that there's been some fights that you like.
Oh, absolutely. And
some that were like gems for you that turned out to be big wins, and you know, you know, so I was just curious. Because
I think Isaac Dogbe was that. I'm sure no one in Top Rank was expecting Dogbe to beat Magdaleno. That was the brother that the money was invested in. Jesse was supposed to win that fight.
Yeah.
But then it turned out good because Dogbe, he ended up being a super fan-friendly fighter.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so many, you know. We've had some duds and we've had our luck. But let's talk about, you know, the guys that are going to make it, the stars, you know.
You guys have a lot of potential stars over there now.
A lot of young talent on the Top Rank side. Young talent.
It's amazing. And I'm so excited about it with the Shakurs of the world.
I'm glad you went there because you got a guy that doesn't have a fight, and you're supposed to make him a fight.
Who, Shakur?
Jared Anderson
on that card.
That's my next. That was my next one. If Jared is what we all think he can be, this kid is going to be the biggest thing ever. It's going to be so big, this kid.
Tell him, Brad.
But it's
telling.
He's 3 weeks out. We need a fighter. Isn't he the co-main?
We got it. It just doesn't come. We just been putting it out yet.
In 3 weeks? We got to promote the next heavyweight champ of America. Who says it's three weeks, bro?
What are you talking about?
Oh, that's a month. April 8th? Oh, yeah,
month
you're right.
A month in February.
All right.
Come on, Nestor.
But, I mean, the kids, you know, it's amazing. I mean, the Shakurs, the Jareds, the Xanders, you know, we got this kid, Abdullah.
Mason. Abdullah Mason's a bad boy.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
The talent that we got. Troy, Duke, all these kids, you know. They're just not on the radar yet because they're on the stream. They haven't been really shown that yet. But once they...
They're on our radar.
No,
yeah.
They're definitely on our radar.
They're definitely on our radar. We follow all of those guys very closely.
Mm-hmm. I got to ask, so having
And I can't forget Keyshawn.
Oh, Keyshawn Davis, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I want to go there. He was pushing for the Jeremiah Nakatilia fight, and instead you went to go. Who was on board with to go and who was on board with Nakatilia?
Well... It will come out. You'll see who Nakatilia is fighting next.
I'm assuming it's going to be my good friend and Dominican brethren, newly signed Jermaine Ortiz, right? What?
No.
Man.
No, it's going to come out.
Tell me it was at least offered to Nakatilia, because if not, I mean, that would be the second time he... I mean, I hear he turned it down one time.
Who did?
Nakatilia to fight Jermaine.
That I don't know.
Wow. So what's next for Jermaine then?
I don't know.
Shelf up.
Hey, no, not a lot of people want to fight him.
Yeah,
he put up a great performance with Loma.
Let's talk about that. May 20th. Obviously not signed, sealed, and delivered quite yet, but
working on it.
Definitely working on it. You know, we're very fortunate to have a relationship with the Haney camp, and you know. I just saw him go 8 with Liam Parra the other day. I'm like, champ, you 3.5 months out. Like, you know, but I know things are looking very, very positive. And being a pay-per-view, obviously you want to build it the right way. Could you tell us maybe of any guys on the undercard?
I'm not privy to mention it, but the card's pretty set already.
Okay.
Wow. The May 20th card.
Yeah.
So.
And Nestor, I didn't mean to cut you off, but go ahead. You remember when we had that interview a couple of years back, how I felt about Devin? We got to go back to that.
I would have to listen to it again.
I said, that kid's real special. And I said, when that kid gets his man strength, he's going to be a bad boy about Devin. And I think he was only about like 4-0 or something.
4-0?
About that time, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
How'd you first hear about Devin?
I used him. I used him on one of my shows.
Downtown?
No, I think it was when Pacquiao and Bradley fought.
Yes, he was the first. That was April 9th, 2016. He was the first.
He fought a Puerto Rican, Southpaw. You know, he went the distance. And he didn't look that great, you know, and he was so young. He was only about 17 years old.
He was. I want to say, I believe that fight was the first time that he got, that Nevada sanctioned a 17-year-old to fight.
Yeah. And I said, this kid's going to be something real special. Because I was watching him in Mexico, how his dad was building him over there and was fighting some real solid, you know, because in Mexico, you don't know those records. They're very, very deceiving.
Very deceiving.
They could be 2-7, but they're really 20-10, those guys.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So I promise I won't say the name. I'm just curious. May 20th, I know who you got co-main event. And then I know.
You know what we have as a co-main?
Absolutely.
What is it?
I'm sorry. Oscar Valdez.
I thought you said you won't say the name.
Oscar Valdez.
Look how he put you out there. You said you won't say the name, the name.
He asked me, what is it?
Or he could have been testing.
I mean, you could be right. You could be wrong. I don't know.
Does he have an opponent, though? Or does the co-main have – is the co-main like –
The co-main event does have him. it's locked in.
Okay, because I'm gonna be honest, I really like two of the three names that got off at that fight. So it was like, I was just excited.
Oh my god!
No,
I'm not gonna do that
because you know we gotta see you know who takes it. Yeah, who takes it? You know, because you know that's just the way the game goes. But okay,
that is funny.
Venue set on that? Because I know there was, you know, they were saying maybe T-Mobile, maybe MGM.
I think it's going to be in Vegas somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah.
And by any chance, do you know, obviously Top Rank in New York uses Madison Square Garden.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're opening a venue here, the Sphere. It'll hold 18,000.
Yeah.
Has there been any exploration? I know that's not opening till later this year, but with your relationship, Top Rank's longstanding relationship with the Madison Square Garden family, is there any possibility we see some shows there?
I'm sure. I don't handle that. You know, the other guys,
mm-hmm.
like Brad Jacobs.
Okay.
I'm sure they've spoke, you know, to the people.
That'd be dope. That'd be dope. I really...
It really looks nice.
Yeah, I'm excited. Right. Obviously, being here, you see it from the top floor of the parking lot. And the first day they put the lights, I was all excited. Like, yo, that looks really cool.
Yeah,
I can't wait till they finish it.
So, do you guys like watch tape when it's time to match make, or is it some fighters you just know who they are already?
At this time, I know all the guys. You know, when I first, I'll tell you, Nestor, when I first came out here, I was so wrapped up in that East Coast, you know, and nothing can change my mind. Everything was like, man, West Coast. You know, the East Coast guys and this and that. And I didn't, it really took me a couple years to like get used to the West Coast, you know, fighters and things like that. But now I'm knowing the West Coast guys more so than the East Coast guys.
Mm.
But I know a lot of the East Coast guys and stuff.
I got to ask as the, and this, again, may not be under you, but as a matchmaker and just someone being with Top Rank, having the gym here, is that something that gets pushed to the fighters to come to Vegas to get some work? Because obviously, you know, Vegas is the fight capital of the world, so mm-hmm. the quality of sparring and the quality of training is another level. We even say it like, sparring on the East Coast or sparring down south, it's not the same as sparring in Vegas.
Sparring over here. Well, that, you know, I haven't gone to the gym over here in a long time.
Mm.
But the kid that works there, Frank, he's done a tremendous job. He really has. I mean, at one point, the gym was a private gym. Nobody would even show up. Now everybody goes there and spars, whether it's kids from the Mayweather gym going over there to get work. I mean, You can't get enough sparring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
everybody goes over there. So
nah, he definitely got that gym.
It's unbelievable.
It's funny. It's funny to hear you call Frank a kid.
I know, right?
Oh man.
Well, what is he?
I mean, he's a grown ass man. Oh. To you, obviously, you're his elder. It's just funny.
He's a kid to me.
Yeah. That's funny, being around Bob and just speaking of being a kid. I mean, he's pretty much seen you grow up your whole life from a teenager.
I'll tell you a funny story. When I was 19, Bob's second wife, Sybil, I had two heads under my chin. And I lost my mom when I was 17. She bought me an electric razor. So she became like my mom when I was at Top Rank.
Mm.
You know, and I shaved my two hairs under my chin.
So you said you were with Top Rank from 83
to 92?
92.
And then again.
And I didn't do my research, but does that cover the Evel Knievel story?
Oh, I wouldn't. Yeah. I mean, Aaron probably did it, but I didn't know that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Man, so you don't have any info on that. I just find that.
No, but I went to the Hagler. I went to Hagler Hearns. I went to Hagler Leonard.
Wow.
You know.
When did you start traveling outside of the East Coast? Because obviously ASC was down the street, but mm-hmm. you know, working
I would go to those shows. I would go to the Hagler Leonards, the Hagler Hermeses. Mm. Once you start going to all those shows, They just become another show, man. You know, I get more of a thrill going to like a Thompson boxing show, you know, and watching two guys just go nuts on each other than go to a big show.
What's the last big show that got you excited? Because I got to give it to you guys. I was at the first Wilder Fury, which I know Top Rank wasn't a part of, but I was at the third one as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then the promotion for the second one, I was in the military at the time. Like, nobody watched boxing, but everybody was talking about Tyson Fury for that fight.
Mm-hmm.
So I just remember, like, I got – to me, that was the last fight that I attended that I got goosebumps, that, you know, maybe my heart rate was a bit elevated. What's the last fight that got you like that, that you attended in person?
Probably nothing in this.
No. I get this. Can't think of one right off the bat, but you know. But there was, you know, especially when I was younger. You know, I remember like when Hagler and Hearns, when they fought. You know, I was young, and they were. I liked both guys so much, man, and I didn't want either one to lose, man. My hands were shaking, you know, your nerves and stuff, and your emotions get in the way. You know, most of the times, you gotta try to stay like neutral, you know, not play like favoritism and stuff, even though it's hard because you know you like the guys. And you feel for them, and I just can't think of anything right off the top of my head, though.
How many years would you say you have in the sport?
Well, whatever, you got to count it.
There's 40, right? You started in 83. We in
83.
2023.
40.
This will be 40 years. Actually, I believe if my research was correct, it'll be in April of 83.
Yeah.
With all that time in the sport and all the evolution you've seen, all the money you've seen come into this sport from different players, can you see all promoters ever being on one network again?
No. Egos, too much money, you know. And at the end of the day, it's unfortunate because there's not a lot of stars out there. And it's because you don't have a lot of fighters fighting on a consistent basis. And people are not familiar with guys like they used to, you know?
Mm-hmm. I also think that it has a lot to do with, and maybe that has something to do with the activity, but, it's hard to watch fights. Like, you know, back in the day, you had, Paz Blue Ribbon had fights on Wednesday, and that was on free TV.
Yeah.
Gillette had fights on Monday, and that was on free TV.
Yeah.
You know, so the XFL,
mm-hmm.
a made-up football league that just started, is getting ABC, ESPN, and all games on ESPN+. Plus, and I've been begging for one Top-Rank fight to land on ABC. Just one.
Yeah.
I've been begging at the mountaintops.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, I think that a lot of it has to do with the TV. Like, they have to want to have boxing on TV.
Yeah. I don't think we're ever going to see, like, the free TV again. And getting back to what we were just talking before, guys fighting on a consistent basis. And you guys remember the Mickey Wards, the Terrence Ellis.
Yeah, but these guys were not fighting top-level opposition.
No, they weren't, but people knew them.
Yeah, but we got to make it okay for our guys of this generation, like,
but how,
to get that but, in between.
But how
fight.
Can you when PBC has 100 guys and we have 90 guys and Eddie has 70 or 80 guys? You're using too many guys.
There's a lot of B-sides, though. You need that's what you need.
Well, yeah.
Like, Shakur's fighting Shoshino now, you know, hypothetically.
You can't knock Shakur. Shakur will fight anybody.
No, I understand. What I'm saying is, hypothetically, after this, for him to remain active, he needs a lesser opponent, you know, in between that. But the fighters also have to, that has to be in the contract. Like, look, when you fight A-level, we pay you A-level money. They need to understand that, you know, stay busy fights aren't million-dollar fights.
100%, yeah. But you can't keep paying guys $3 million every fight.
Think about it. We saw Devin fight in October.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's fighting in May. That's about eight and a half months in between.
Yeah.
But the criticism in today's day and age, let's say if you guys would have thrown him in the ring this month, February or late January.
Oh, he won in March?
Against a Charlie Sheehy or something like that as a tune-up, just so that people could see him. Yo, people would shit all over Top Rank these days.
I don't know. I think that they could have absolutely did the guy I've been pitching for over a year with the IBO belt. Take him to Oakland.
How much of a tune-up is it then? You're talking about an IBO champion.
All right. But matchmakers are there for a reason. Devin's on a level that he is for a reason. You know, to Devin, you know, Thurman said that the best. You know, to him, Jesse Vargas was a tune-up. To Devin, in my opinion, the IBO champion, what is his name?
Shout out to Hardin.
Which one?
Lightweight.
His name is...
He's with Eddie.
Maxie Hughes.
Maxie Hughes.
Bro, that's a you know, a tune-up for Devin. And, you know, you take him to Oakland. Like, I don't understand why boxing doesn't let a fighter grow in his area. Like, tell me what was wrong with Crawford and why couldn't he just stay in Nebraska? Seems to be selling it out.
Yeah. He was doing great business there.
So why wouldn't you just keep letting him be there? I mean, obviously you're a matchmaker. I don't know if that is part of the job as well.
Not really. I don't know the ins and outs of the financial stuff, you know. But you know, he's a great fighter and stuff like that. But you know, that just didn't work out. You know, he wanted, you know, certain things. We couldn't give it to him. He had to move. He moved.
How much do you take the location of the fight into consideration with matchmaking? I'm sure for certain fights, some more than others, it has to play a huge factor, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, some of it's a gamble, and we're going to take a gamble. We believe in Jared, and we're going to take it on the road to Toledo.
Mm.
And we think it's going to do tremendous.
Yeah, this year?
Yeah.
I mean, Robert Easter did very well in Toledo.
Yeah. And we think, like I said, we think Jared's going to be something tremendous, something special. And if he makes it over there, you know, it's going to be big, man. You know, we'll put all those kids over there from Ohio on there, you know, Tiger and Abdullah and all that. It's going to be big, man.
Yeah, no, fortunately, Jared's another of your fighters that I have a great relationship with. So I've been saying it from the beginning. I think, especially after the camps with Fury, you know, I was blessed to be privy to maybe 60, 70 rounds of those that sparring. Like, you know, I think the sky's the limit for Jared, especially the heavyweight division. When I think of when boxing was on top of the world, the heavyweights.
Yeah.
When you have a heavyweight knocking people out. And Jared's entertaining, not just because of the ring, but, his ring walks
his antics and everything, man. This guy can, I'm telling you, man, I'm so excited. This guy can be something, man. You know, he really can. If he can make it, man, and it's still an if. We don't know. But if he can, he's going to be something special, man. This guy can be huge, man.
I want to ask, obviously, his last fight on paper, you know, the biggest name on his resume. Walk us through that matchmaking process. Like, how do you know, okay, my guy that's only 12-0 is ready for Jerry Forrest?
Well, there were a lot of other guys that turned it down. And kudos to Forrest. He took the fight. But it's only going to get tougher from here. Not a lot of guys want to fight Jared. This guy that's on April 8th, and I'm not going to mention, there were other guys that turned it down. This guy took it. So you have a relationship with Jared. He may mention some, I don't know.
Yeah, I wanted to ask, because we covered the WBC convention. We were in Acapulco in November, and, you know, we saw Shakur and Pitbull get ordered. I instantly text Shakur. He was excited, and then we saw it was just like a trickle effect. Like, one guy didn't want it. The next guy didn't want it. The next guy didn't.
Nobody wants to fight Shakur, and I'm going to tell you how special Shakur is. Right after the Olympics, I was in the top-ranked gym, and he wanted to spar with Donaire. Donaire was getting ready. I think it was for Magdaleno. His little young Shakur wanted to spar with Magdaleno. He wants to test himself with everybody. I'm the one that brought him out to spar with Loma.
Mm.
I was there. It was unbelievable. And Shakur only had about like three, four fights. He did tremendous. I saw it with my own eyes, man. You know?
You may not be able to tell me. I don't want any names, but I'm just curious how many guys turned down Jared before you got an opponent.
For this one?
Yes, for April 8th.
I want to say about two.
Okay.
Yeah, but they were all competent guys, you know, because that's the level that Jared's on now. You know, we're going to move him, you know, we're going to move him at a certain pace now, you know.
Now, obviously, you're just the matchmaker, but just because of how highly you think of Jared, I'm curious, you know, people like, oh, he got touched up in that first round against Jared. And I'm like, he did.
Mm-hmm.
But go back and watch it. He got touched up in the southpaw stance. What are your thoughts on him? You know, obviously, being an orthodox fighter, switch out. I mean, he is, I tell people, he's not the typical heavyweight these days. The typical heavyweight these days is a crossover athlete. He was born and bred into this sport. So, you know, to see him doing things that we see welterweights and lightweights and featherweights doing, you know, in the ring, just your thoughts, because obviously that's why he has such a high ceiling, because he's able to do what no other heavyweight can do.
Correct. But what my concerns are two things. The chin, hopefully he has that. He did get hit by Forrest, but it was a smaller guy. I don't want to see him get hit with a Herkovic or the Chinese kid Zhang.
He stopped Phillip in the first half of the fight.
You believe that?
Yeah.
I hope you're right.
Like,
you know,
Phillip. Yeah, yeah. Another guy, because he trains in Houston with Ronnie. So,
yeah.
So, you know, yeah, he ain't got no tank.
And I want to see how he is the second half of a fight. We've never seen that. I want to see how his endurance is.
So this opponent should give him rounds?
I believe he does.
Did you think Jerry
I believe
would...
he does. And one of the opponents, and I can mention one of the opponents, he just wasn't available at this time, was Jonathan Rice.
Oh, yeah, we know.
You know, not a pleasing guy, but you figure he would have went rounds. He would have held, he would have grabbed, which is fine. But at least he would have taken him six, seven rounds or whatever. Let's see how Jared, you know, reacts, you know, if he gets tired or whatever. But that's what I think we all want to see. We want to see how he is, his endurance, you know, in the second half of a fight. We know how he is the first half and how explosive he is. We want to see if it carries through the second half.
Did you think Jerry would take him more than what he did? Because I feel like...
I didn't think he'd get him out that quick. But I felt like he could stop him because he was a smaller guy. Jared's an explosive guy early.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
From a matchmaker standpoint, do you like the Jared Anderson-Jarrell Miller fight? You do?
I love it. And there's somebody in the office that thought of that fight.
Hmm. So now, there's a small possibility you guys still work with him?
No, well, they turned, one of the guys turned it down. They didn't like it. You can't trust Jarrell because mm-hmm. of all the problems that he's had in the past, and you know, you don't know if it's gonna happen again.
So things like that can't be written into the contract. Like, you offer him the fight, and in that contract, it's like you have to do VADA, you have to test X amount
of time. That's a good point.
Or is that just too much risk? Because he still can test positive.
Maybe. I don't know. But I think it's a great thing. The real big baby stand up or something.
Yes,
I've been saying
that for a few years. I love that fight. This guy's just... He's fighting Lucas Brown, so I don't know if that's going to make sense to you guys.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like this weekend, though, that's like soon.
No, yeah. I know.
Yeah.
It's March 18th.
Okay, yeah. I'm like,
That actually would be a real big fight, like on Heisman night.
In New York. Oh, yeah.
Now.
Which we've seen Jared, I believe, the last 2 years, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, you figure he'll go again.
I guess the probability of the Toledo fight being a level of opposition or a named, because it's more about name.
It's
right?
more of a showcase.
Exactly. So
all his fans to come out and see and support, you know.
But the B-side doesn't matter?
I think it's the event more, I think. You know?
I got to ask because... Although I love, and obviously Top Rank believes that Jared can sell, and I believe he does sell in Toledo, but it's like you got the Huntington that does 8, and then it's, you don't really have, like, could we see a Jared at the Toledo University football stadium?
That's the publicity guys that do that stuff. Very possible, you know.
Because
it would be big, you know. I think Jared will do real well over there. But
I agree.
That's just me saying something, not confidently. The publicity department would know more about that.
I mean, all the pieces are there, though. You've already said it. You guys got a ton of guys in and around that area that once you put them on,
mm-hmm.
you know, it just makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I do have some questions from the people here. Ruin the 504 says, before his Top Rank departure, what matchmaking plans did you guys have for Edward Berlanga? Kind of asked you that.
Yeah.
We had a plan where we'd give him a fight, you know, to his liking, opponent wise, and then showcase him again as a main event. On June.
Mm. So, were you opposed to Rosado versus Berlanga? Gabe Rosado.
We were opposed to Gabe Rosado's price.
Mm.
At that time.
Was that a June fight, in your opinion, or not a June fight?
No. No, the Gabe Rosado fight was a fight that was offered months ago, you know.
For when, though?
So Gabe turned it down because of the price?
No. It was a price that was Gabe was looking for months ago. This was conversations months ago, not for these recent conversations. Mm.
So that fight you would have done. I'm shocked the Top Rank would have done that fight not on a June. I always mention that fight as the passing of the torch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Puerto Rico versus Puerto Rico on the Puerto Rican Day Parade. You guys were just going to do a regular TV fight, huh?
No, he would have been a main event.
I hear you, but not
that's
on.
That's not a main event. How is that a main event? Gabe Rosado what's he done?
I mean,
yeah, that one fight.
He's about to be main event right now with Zurdo.
Okay.
But
that's the zone. Nobody watches the zone. You know? No disrespect, you know, but I mean.
Wow. I honestly
no,
I thought Gabe versus Berlanga was a main event.
I mean,
in New York City, Puerto Rican Day Parade.
Wouldn't you say Gabe is a bigger name than Steve Rose and Romer Alexis Angulo? Those were main events at the Hulu Theater.
I know that, but it was a much lower budget. And what has Gabe done besides, you know, he had that one knockout? What did he do before that?
Arguably beat Daniel Jacobs.
But he didn't. But what's he done?
No, I mean, I'm with you now. He hasn't, you know, but I think for the Puerto Rican.
Fan-friendly,
yeah.
Television-friendly.
Yeah.
Known with the Puerto Ricans, known with the Americans.
Yeah.
I
listen.
He's a good B-side.
Very much so. Very much so. And I like Gabe. I have no problem with Gabe. But it just didn't work out.
Fair enough.
I like that fight. I hope now that he's with Matchroom we get it, though, honestly. But, I mean, Gabe's moved up to 75 this guy.
Yeah, that's crazy. I don't even want to see the fight, to be quite honest with you.
Wow, is that bad?
Oh, I told you. Sacrificial lamb.
Let's talk about Gilberto, because you were protecting him because you guys had, I mean, he had 40-something fights with you guys in there.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't believe in him.
Who said we didn't believe in him? He wanted a certain thing, and it just didn't work out. It has nothing to do with not believing in him.
What did he want?
He wanted too much money.
It's always the money.
You know,
but you also didn't get him any, like, the biggest name was Jesse Hart.
Yeah.
And
we
you
also,
had a 6'5" Mexican.
And we also didn't have, at that time, any light heavyweights.
I mean, you had him when he was 60 and 68.
And at that time, when he first was coming up to light heavyweight, we offered him certain guys. And he did take, you know, Carpense. But then he didn't want to fight guys like Mike Seals.
What?
Yeah.
Michael Seals, before, the Edson Rodriguez fight.
Well, yeah, but this is before, yeah, that's the fight he watched, and he didn't want to fight him. This is before Mike Seals got stopped by Alvarez.
Didn't Top Dog Thomas Williams fight Seals too?
No.
Thomas Williams?
Thomas Williams never fought Seals. He fought Adonis Stevenson and those guys.
So I'm all over the place, but like when are you guys, and allowed is the wrong word, but when do you allow your own mind to think about an Al Haymon B-side or Eddie Hearn B-side?
We've worked with Eddie plenty of times.
No, I know that. But yeah. Obviously you want to deal with your pool before you go outside the box, right?
Sure.
Or does matchmaking, is that the first role?
No. If we don't have a guy, we'll work with other promoters. We have no problem at all. We've done it.
So would Areola fall under showcase?
Who?
Christopher?
Chris Areola?
Yeah.
What about him?
Would he fall under showcase in Toledo?
Does he even fight anymore?
I mean, shit, Andy took him out of retirement for a pay-per-view.
No, but that was like 2 years ago.
Bro,
and that was his first fight in 3 years.
I'm just saying he's known to the American public.
Yeah, but how many Mexicans are in
you know,
Toledo?
I turned Chris Areola pro in Laughlin.
Mm.
Paid him $400.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
When Gary Shaw first started. I mean
what is he? He's got to be like 39 or under. He's not over. He's not that old, bro.
Yeah.
And, I mean, isn't that the green print, African-American, a nice known Mexican-American?
He's 41 years old.
Okay. Not that bad.
How many Mexicans are in Toledo again? Like,
no?
Nah. I mean, I don't think so. You got the Hall of Famer here, you know. What do I know?
We haven't even thought about anybody yet.
Mm. But Danny seems to think it can't be a Mexican, so what are you expecting?
I just wouldn't think in Toledo. I mean, I feel...
I mean, I guess you're right. Broner in Cincinnati fought Emmanuel Teller, but Shakurkov was Russian. That's who Easter fought over there.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's all about the you know, showcasing, you know, the A side. You're gonna come out and support that guy.
I think you answered this from James Valdez in San Antonio. What's the greatest match you attended, and what was so special about this event?
I would either say Hagler Hearns or, I hate to say, because nobody was there, and it was a great fight, man, because Theon Corrales, the first fight. I'll never forget, I was talking to Leonard Ellerby on the phone during the fight because he wasn't there, and I was going back. I said, oh, shit, Corrales is down, Castillo's down. You know, I kept going back and forth, you know, and there was only about like 2,000 people in the arena. Nobody was there. And it was probably, it was such a great fight.
I got Brandon in Houston. It says, Johnny Beck took some criticism for facing Denzel Bentley his last fight. Do you have any insight on if a bigger name was offered that fight before settling on Bentley?
No, nobody. See, Johnny Beck is he's all risk, no reward. Tough guy to fight. And you know, we just don't have a lot of middleweights. So we have to go outside the pocket, go to other promoters. If they can't give us anybody, we have to look around in Europe, you know, and that's how we got, you know, thank God Frank Warren had a guy, and he offered up Bentley.
You weren't expecting that though, right?
No.
Yeah, no. Me neither.
You know, thank God, you know, Bentley, you know, showed some huevos.
Yeah. I think he probably ruined our parlay. We weren't expecting Bentley to make a decision.
Take Charles Martin in Toledo.
Yeah, but again, now you got to deal with Al. And someone's training him out here.
Takum. Who's Takum with?
With you guys. He's with Top Rank.
Yeah?
Yeah, Takum. I like Takum.
Oh, Takum, yeah.
But
no, Takum's fighting Yoka.
Yoka. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
And Takum's going to win too much money.
I'm not a big.
It's a showcase budget.
I'm not a big Yoka guy.
You think you can still get Stephen Shaw to take the fight, or is it not worth
yeah,
it?
Yeah, absolutely. Would you guys would want to see something like that? Were you impressed with your Shaw?
I was expecting so much more. I watched that guy since 0-0. Like, I watched him maybe six camps with Wilder. I can't believe that fucking Ajagba had him gunshot. I was not expecting that. Wilder never had him gunshot in sparring. I thought he was going to let his hands go more. And then it seemed at first like he got that, but then he went after the fight and posted like, oh, I thought I won the fight. It's like, bro, no.
I wanted
you to win the fight, but you didn't. You had to let your hands go a little bit more. You can't just avoid punches.
I mean.
And Ajagbo, he did better. He did better.
I mean, I think that'd be a good showcase.
Wow, that's crazy. I don't think that's a showcase.
What do you like better, that or Rice?
No, I guess I'm not understanding the word. Like, showcase is supposed to be, in my opinion,
I think
win.
Yeah, I think Johnny would last longer than Shaw.
Oh wow.
Yeah. I'm not gonna lie. I think after seeing the last one, and he was talking about Jared too, and he was telling me, he's like, I know that's your boy.
Oh, you mean Stephen? Yeah, yeah, they didn't
build
up.
Jared'll fuck him up.
It
I ain't going to lie to you. Jared'll fuck him up.
Yeah.
I ain't even going to lie to you. Three, four rounds.
Yeah. Mm.
I don't know. The question is he going to take it, you know, for that, for whatever is being offered? We have another one here. Ja Tucker stomped Xander Zayas post fight press conference and called him out for a fight at 154. Ja Tucker versus Xander, is that realistic fight to be made for Top Rank at any time?
Who's that, Jahi?
Yeah.
That's Jahi on there?
No. Somebody, it's a fan accent.
A fan accent.
Jahi's fighting on April 1st. He's fighting Xander's stablemate.
Hmm.
The kid Nikolai Georgian kid. I don't know the last name or whatever, but it's a solid fight. Now Xander is on a different path right now. Jahai just moved up to 54. Let him get his feet wet a little bit, you know, couple fights at 54, and let's see what happens.
How could we can't let him go. Today's show topic, obviously, WBO orders newly ranked number one, Teofimo Lopez versus Josh Taylor for the WBO 140-pound title. That's a fight that I know was already being spoke about prior to the WBO ordering that. How close would you say?
I mean, there's talk about it. I don't know if it's finalized or anything like that.
Okay. Now,
but it sounds from a matchmaker standpoint, you want Teo to get another fight because you just said Jahad just moved up and he needs to get acclimated.
Well, Teo has already gotten, you know, two fights under his belt and stuff, and you know, he needed that. Should he get another one? Possibly, but Josh, he's not the most active guy in the world, you know.
So you're saying right time?
I think it's the right time for both guys.
No, I said the same thing. I feel like they need each other in a way.
Right now, yeah, it's sort of like an even playing field. You know what I mean?
We didn't have an answer because I'm like, is it fair to say Regis is a tougher fight, being as though he lost to Josh Taylor, or is Josh Taylor the tougher fight because he beat Regis?
I think the world of Regis, man. I think he's number one, man. Hands down.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how much does a fighter demanding a fight weigh into matchmaking?
How much does a fighter – say it again?
If I'm a fighter and I'm demanding a specific fight, how much does that weigh into the matchmaking process?
At certain points, you know, it helps. Especially, you know, if there's a lot of, you know, bad blood going on and both guys are sort of, say – you know, popular, marketable, and then sometimes it doesn't work. Like, for instance, it didn't work, unfortunately, for Barboza when he was calling out Teofimo all this time.
Mm-hmm.
It never panned out. But
Albert Bell,
another guy, you know, we had him all this time. Another kid took every fight.
Man.
And guys, and you know, I don't want to mention the guys that we have, that we still have to this day. They turned Albert Bell down. Champions.
How's that work though? Why do you cut ties with the guy that can't get the fight and keep the guy that's not taking the fight?
Because nobody wanted to fight him. It wasn't fair to Albert anymore. And now you see he's in the same situation. He was trying to go to DiBella, trying to go to Hearn, he's trying to get fights. Nobody wants to fight the kid. Who wants to fight a 6'1", 130-pounder? It's a hard guy to fight, man.
Now, and let me tell you, another guy that we know well, Lotitet, like, he was a plus 800 against Andy. You know how much I came up in that fight? Man, Albert Bell... I hope he gets a shot. I know he's in those rankings.
I forced that fight on them, him and Vic Green. They didn't want that fight. I forced it on them. You know?
It came out on top.
Of course.
It came out on top.
You
Why'd
know?
You force it on them?
Because they didn't think they were ready and stuff. They wanted another fight and stuff. I don't think he had like a 10-round fight at that time. Or if he did, it was like sort of like in that like Toledo area against weak opposition. And it was his first real big thing, you know. And, you know, they thanked me after the fight because it worked out and stuff. But and he got some exposure. And he's a great kid, man. He still comes to our shows, man.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely.
He's a great kid.
He was just out here at the training at Top Rank a few months back.
Yeah,
so
maybe if he's available, we'll put him on the Toledo show.
Yeah. Walk me through that British Prescott and Terrence Crawford moment.
Oh,
Because the story is you guys didn't want him to take that fight.
100%. Okay. I'll tell you like it was vivid in my mind. I remember that like it was yesterday.
So even Bruce was not with that.
We hated the fight.
Wow.
Cameron Duncan at that time was managing Terrence.
Mm-hmm.
And I called Cameron up. And I said, Cameron, you want this fight? Terrence was on the card. He was fighting a kid named Robert Osiobi, kid out of Uganda that Luis Tapia, local trainer over here, was training. And Prescott was in a fight, the Russian kid, was in a fight, the Russian kid that beat Joan Guzman. I forget the name. Look up Joan
Guzman. I'm pulling it up.
Yeah, he stopped Joan Guzman in like the 10th round in Florida. That was the title fight. And he got hurt.
Talking about Habib.
Kurdiev? Yeah. Oh, the same one that Broner fought.
Exactly. And call Cameron up. He goes, yeah, let me call McIntyre and, you know, don't hear anything for 2 days. So Todd comes in and he says, do me a favor. Call Cameron again and see if they want this fight. So, yeah, you know. I spoke to McIntyre. He doesn't like the fight. He doesn't think Terrence is ready for it.
Okay. Who said that?
Cameron says this to me. So I go back to Todd. And I said to Todd, I said, spoke to Cameron. He says they don't like the fight. Todd just looks and says, call McIntyre up. Call McIntyre up. I said, Brian. Did Cameron call you about this Prescott fight? This what Prescott fight? I said, for the fight coming up on Saturday, you know, instead of fighting Osiobi, you can, you know, move up to the semi-main event or the main event, whatever it was. He goes, no. I said, would you fight Prescott? Goes, hell yeah. So that's all I need to know.
And that was like 7 days out, right?
That was his break right there.
And even though you guys...
And me and Bruce, we were scared shit of it.
Mm.
We didn't think he was ready. And he shined, man. But I put Terrence in a fight one time. Andres Gorges. G-O-R-G-E-S. Tall kid. He was about 6'3" from Canada. And McIntyre was scared shit of the fight. I said, Brian, relax, man. I said, Terrence is going to knock this kid dead. And he knocked him. I knocked him dead in like two rounds, face first, you know. But that's where he got his break, against Prescott.
What other fight off the top of your head comes to mind when you're like, you didn't think your guy was going to...
Hold on. Were you at the Gamboa fight in Boardwalk Hall where Terrence was the undercard?
Mm-hmm.
You were there.
I went to every Terrence fight. I was there when he fought Burns.
So.
Terrence is my guy, man. I love Terrence.
Am I envisioning things? Did he not get dropped in that fight?
No.
Are you sure? He had braids in that fight.
Yeah.
I swear I remember him. And I'm like, yo, it's never been on BoxRec. I went to that fight.
Terrence got rattled. One time here.
He's going to hate me for bringing this up, but I was live, and I'm like, unless there was two guys with braids that day, and he had box braids, I'm like, or it didn't get counted as a knockdown.
No, he won a decision. Because
I remember I was a big Wale Omotoso fan, and obviously Urokas Gamboa fan, and Lucky Boy was on that card. You know, he had the whole story.
Yeah, no. In the ring. Crawford got rattled one time over here against the Brazilian.
And Sanabria?
Huh? No, not Sanabria. Sanabria was in Texas. was it like Sydney Seguiria or something? Mm. And I think it was here, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was here at the Wynn.
Mm.
We did a show here when Vanis fought Lara.
Okay. Let me pull it up.
That was like the only time. And then you know, like that BS thing with Cavalieskius.
BS.
Yo, Terrence is a bad boy, man. He's the best out there, man.
Yo, you... I agree.
Yeah,
I agree.
You were right. Sydney Sequeira, he fought.
When he fight him in the win, right?
We're at the win, yeah.
I'm good, right?
But you got to agree,
that
too.
That should just get me in the Hall of Fame.
No, hey, you know, it's funny you say that because, you know, I'm headed in those footsteps.
I like to call him the almanac.
I'm pretty wicked. I'm only 26, so obviously, you know.
Yeah, you're young, man. That's good.
22, that fight was in 2012. I was like a sophomore, junior in high school, but –
But as a matchmaker, would you label him Shinny?
No, not at all. Cavalieskius can punch, man. He came right back and was gunning. He was thrown right back.
What about the Gamboa fight? And then you just told us about the Gorgeous fight.
But everybody. But then you can say, would you say Spence's Shinny?
I mean, he only got the one Ugas incident, right?
And what about the Jamaican. Larte.
Exactly.
Well,
and that's like what, 10 years apart?
Anybody can get clipped, you know. It's how you react and come back, man.
It's so strange with him because then he knocks everybody out. He's like on a 10-fight knockout streak.
Yeah.
Let me tell you,
he's vicious, man.
To Top Rank, obviously the last fight you guys had, Bud, was a Sean Porter fight, and I was sitting not on the floor, but I'm like 100 level for that one. And I remember, I read his lips on the Jumbotron. I'm like, yo, they told me he's
losing?
Down. Yo, I'm down? I'm like, yo, look, he's saying it.
Yeah.
To see him come out and do what he did, you know, and a lot of people aren't a fan of Ken Porter stopping the fight, but had that fight continued, we all know.
He gets stronger as the fight goes on, man. He's so vicious, man. And... When I went out to Scotland with him for the Burns fight, I went out there previously with Beltran, and them fans are so rowdy and vicious and hostile. They throw beer at you.
Man,
I mean, you know,
they're brutal.
Serious.
No, I was there with Wilder. They threw a whole beer on.
And I warned him. I said, Terrence, I said, once you walk out that dressing room, man, it's a different environment. It's just everything is different. And I watched him while he was walking, and he didn't show any emotion or nothing. He was like ice, man. He's something special, man.
You think he could, from obviously, you know, it's always going to be from a matchmaker standpoint, but you think he could beat Jermell Charlo?
I wouldn't count them out. I mean, he spars bigger guys. Jermell is a very, very good fighter. You know, I have a lot of respect for him. But I wouldn't count them out. He's fought the better opposition, I think.
Wait, who?
I think Crawford's fought the better opposition.
Over Jermell?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he was in tough fights with Castano, and I really believe, you may think I'm crazy, man, I thought Harrison was putting it on him the second fight.
A lot of people do.
Yeah. I thought he played with Charlo that second fight. I think Harrison's beautiful, man. You give him a chin, he's the greatest thing ever, man.
So you think it's the chin?
Yeah.
See, I question if it's the chin or the tank.
Chin. He's beautiful to watch, man. I love watching him.
Yeah, I said if he could stay disciplined against Zhu, I think he's gonna.
He should be able to destroy it. Now over there, I don't know. Over here, he destroys Zhu.
I mean, we saw what your guy did last year two times. Haney, I'm saying Haney went out there, so I think it can be done. But
Haney's a very, very disciplined kid. He has a great team supporting him.
I totally agree.
Harrison, you know, he's training the Baumgartner. Who knows, you know, what he's really doing. But if you really focus, man, I mean, I was more impressed with him in the Charlo, the second Charlo fight, than I was the first Charlo fight. What a great fight.
How much of the other promotional companies are you watching, or is it kind of just based on the fighters you have? Or
I watch everything. I have a great relationship with the Kubas Jr. I watch all of the PBC shows. Eddie, I've been, you know, those Crawford fights were Eddie shows. Him and Frank Smith have treated me tremendously out there. Every time I've been out there, Eddie's a great promoter. Wish him nothing but the best. I wasn't trying to be disrespectful when I said who watches the zone. You know, I shouldn't have really said that. So I wish those guys the best. I subscribe to the zone, and I watch all their shows. So and he's a great promoter.
Again, from a matchmaker standpoint, would you make the Ryan Tank fight for Ryan? Your Golden Boy matchmaker.
Or you're Ryan.
For Ryan, no.
Wow. You don't think he's ready then?
I think there's other things they can do. And you got both guys, especially Tank, who's very, very special at this time. You know, and Tank doesn't really need him. Let it, you know, marinate, whatever they say, you know, and it can even be bigger.
So you weren't on board with Loma Tank, or were you?
It didn't really mean anything at that time, really.
I mean, they were pitching it.
They were, but that's fans and stuff like that, but it never really happened, and it was just talk. There was never any negotiating or anything like that. And, you know, Tank, to me, is so big right now. You know, he's a great attraction. He's proven himself. You can put him in with anybody, and it's going to be big. You put him in Atlanta. You put him in California. You put him anywhere. Put him in Maryland.
Why do you think that is? What do you think it is about him? Is it the power? Well,
just everything. There's something about him, and I don't know. I don't know him, but you know, even though he's like he has that thug mentality, there's something cute about him. Does it make sense?
I guess.
You know what I mean? I don't know. You know, there's a niceness to him. You know, he's a
yeah,
nice.
Definitely the way he
nice
speaks.
Thug.
I think
he's a nice thug. If that makes any sense. Cute. You know, I don't know what it is, man. But, you know, there's like thugs that are like assholes. But he's like nice, man. You know, he's a street guy, but he's nice. I don't know.
So given that you said you wouldn't make that fight from a matchmaker's perspective once again.
As a fan, I would. But
which one?
No, I was going to ask. So from a matchmaker's perspective, given the recent talk. If both guys asked, you wouldn't want to make Shakur versus Devin this year?
No, not yet. No, because remember one thing. I don't know how much Devin, you know. I think he's going to be a 40-pounder after this next fight, you know.
His dad seemed to think
based
that.
Based off what, though? Based off what?
Yeah, he's huge, man.
He's been making.
Don't say
30
he makes fights. It easy. He don't make that.
When somebody comes in half a pound under and ain't got to drop draws, that's pretty easy to me.
Yeah, but...
And he doesn't use a sauna.
No, I know, but that's because he's a dedicated and he's a true professional. But if you said, what would he be better at and where would he feel more comfortable at, 35 or 40, I guarantee you he would say 40.
And I won't disagree with
and
that,
and he would be
but,
very successful.
But that. Obviously, if he were to stay at 35... That fight that has been spoken on from both sides between Shakur and Devin would be there. Not, you know,
yeah.
From a matchmaker's perspective, because obviously it's a business.
Yeah.
And, You know, I like Marination, but sometimes, you know, like Mayweather.
It may never happen because once Shakur goes to 40, he may be 47.
Mayweather.
They're both growing.
Mayweather Pacquiao. Long time. And obviously, you know, it was a huge financial success. And both guys made life-changing money a lot more than they would had it happened. What was the original? What was that, 08, 09 when Floyd put out that?
I mean, in retrospect, it doesn't matter because we realize now that a super fight, you can't accept a flat fee.
Yeah. You know, the other thing is like what you were saying before, when fighters can demand the fight, that's basically what happened with Ryan and Tank. You know, Ryan basically demanded it. I don't even think Tank really cared, really. It was Ryan that was demanding it, right?
Speaking of demanding, let's talk about one of your fighters, the Monster, because it seems like Steph Fulton demanded on his end for that fight to happen. Is that a done deal? And why go up in weight to immediately face the unified champ? Was there any talk? And
I think that's a solid fight.
Hoopoe is a bad boy.
I know. I think that's a real solid fight. As far as it being done, I believe it is.
Okay.
But don't quote me on that, but I believe it is done. And kudos to both guys, man. You know, him stepping up and fighting the best 22-pounder out there, in my opinion, and Fulton going to Japan.
I want to take you back to Gamboa, Juanma Lopez. Do you feel like that was Top Rank dropped the ball there over Marination? I feel like that's actually when we heard the word Marination from Bob.
He waited a little bit too long.
Do you think?
Because
I understand that it was Juanma not looking good. Like, Gamboa was looking spectacular. Like, Juanma would face Roger Matagua, Gamboa come right behind him and make him look like it was nothing.
Yeah.
So I can understand,
You
know, the Puerto Rican being the draw and maybe you guys thinking he's not ready. But then he ends up losing to fucking Salido. And
Salido was a very solid guy, man.
But I'm sure that wasn't the plan.
No.
So what did you think about that moment, that era?
Well, it backfired. You know, you have your ups and you have your downs. And at that one, we had our downs.
And the Rios Gamboa, why do you think that didn't happen?
Which one, Rios?
Yeah, Brandon Rios and Gamboa. At one point, I think it was even a pay-per-view. They had press conferences and then fucking Richard Abril crashed the press conference.
Oh, yeah.
Gamboa ended up getting out of his Top Rank contract.
Yeah.
Don't remember that?
Oh, I do remember that because Alvarado fought underneath, and Alvarado fought Mauricio Herrera.
Was that the first time you guys went to Denver?
No. That was over here.
Okay.
Rios fought Abril. Alvarado fought Herrera. Yeah, but I don't remember. Yeah, and Rios looked horrible against Abril. Abril can make everybody look
bad. Abril, we learned, was a tough fight, though.
So,
yeah.
Brad, really quick, just because I personally love the fight, how much of a say or how much input did you have in making Inouye and Fulton?
I had nothing to do with
that.
At that level, that's strictly, you know, organizations, promoters, the TV, and stuff like that.
So at what level would you say...
Well, us, you know, like me and Bruce, we get these guys to a certain level, and then once they hit that level, it's more like the TV.
Okay.
You know.
So is Keyshawn on that level where TV's in control now?
He's at that level where he's semi-main event type material. But we still choose the opponents and stuff like that.
Do you believe that he could be a success in Virginia the way you think Jared can be?
We're gonna probably go that route as well.
Okay.
Again, we were talking about fighters wanting fights. He seems to want to fight Floyd Schofield, but he's with Golden Boy and DAZN. Mm-hmm. I know Top Rank has done you know, the Hooker and Ramirez fight, but obviously that's a much higher level. Is that something we should not be thinking about, even though they're back and forth?
Yeah, I don't think that, you know, anytime soon. You know, they're both young, and Schofield's a good little fighter, you know.
So you watched that last fight?
I watched Schofield. He's a good little fighter.
You didn't expect he – did you want him to get the knockout? Did you think he wouldn't because of
I texted what's his name, Mike Miller, you know, who represents him and stuff. I said it was a great, great learning experience. That's what he needed. Wow. I love when fighters go rounds.
Is that the same Mike Miller from Kirkland?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
I didn't even know he was still in the business.
But you're at the same city, too. That's where Schofield is at, Austin, Texas.
Yeah, Austin, Texas. And I thought, I love when guys go rounds. You know, it makes you a better fighter. You know, a lot of times these guys, you know, walk out in the ring and, you know, they're all moping and stuff like that. You know, I should have knocked the guy. I said, for what, man? I said, rounds make you a better fighter, man.
But isn't the knockouts with why Deontay Wilder and Gervonta Davis are attractions?
Yeah, but early on in your career, it's good to get rounds, face a little bit of adversity, you know, because it builds character.
Do you see a world where Jarrett takes the torch from Fury?
Yeah,
really?
and that's what I was saying earlier on, man.
Top Rank would make that fight.
I'm not saying they make that fight. We can go in other routes. Say he fights a Dubois or somebody like that. But if he can get, and like I said, it's still an if because we don't know. We don't know about the chin. We don't know if he can go a second half, you know, of the fight. We don't know these things. We're going to know eventually. But if he can do that, we got a gem, man. I think we got something real special.
Is the opponent top 10 in the sanction, top 10 in the world on boxing?
No, but it's somebody that you know, somebody you guys would know. And you would say, yeah, it's a good step up.
I'm excited.
Go ahead.
I was going to jump into Arslan Beck. Makhmudov, I mean, Jared seems to feel ready
Jared,
for him.
Jared wants him. That's
he said
fight.
He's fooled. In our generation, you know, it's easy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Jared wants him.
But what's the plan with him? Because, you know, you guys have signed him. I think he's had like three fights.
That could be a fight. Who knows? That could be
But is he in another direction, though?
No.
Because he's a draw in Canada, right?
No, that could be one of the fights for Jared down the road.
Before I wrap, I do want to ask, since you said you watched fights, did you see Pedro this weekend?
Which guy?
Lanier, Peru, Bob Santos, heavyweight.
I love Bobby, man. That's my guy, man. I saw Denier and Lanier.
Okay.
I saw both guys.
Impressed?
Not really.
Yeah.
I wasn't impressed. And I hope Bobby doesn't get mad at me because I'll probably have lunch with him next week and he'll be mad. But
Like come from behind knockout, that doesn't matter to you. As a matchmaker, you'd rather see him win the rounds.
Yeah. Yeah, because the other guy that was in front of him, to me, was just an ordinary guy.
Mm.
You know, that was just my opinion.
Now, how much do you factor into that knockout, right? Like even post-fight, the guy's still saying he's never been hit that hard to the body. He felt...
That could be a possibility. Listen, I wasn't impressed, but... impress me the next time. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt.
And with the brother, went four rounds.
Yeah. Bobby was bragging about him, you know, on how good he was. I wasn't impressed with him.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he would get that guy out of there too.
Yeah.
But his record, I mean, actually, he was 2-0 with 2 KOs, so yeah.
Yeah.
I got two more for me.
I want to stay here all day, man.
Yeah, no, we
love
having you.
No, we'll bring you to the wire for sure.
But I wanted to ask, obviously, Kenny Sims, somebody who upset
great guy. Great, great guy. Know him personally. He's a class act, him and his dad and Kay and all them guys, man. We try to get him on board. We just have so many freaking guys in our stable. And we offered guys in our stable for him, but nobody wanted to fight him. You know, good kid, man, and I wish him all the best.
Unfortunate. You got
yes.
Okay. Go
D Jones on Patreon says, "What inspired Mr. Goodman to be a matchmaker?"
You know, when we were talking earlier, anything that my cousin liked, I just followed. He liked boxing. I got into boxing. So when I was at Top Rank, I'd always end up in the matchmaking office. All I ever wanted to be was a matchmaker. I never wanted to be a promoter. All I ever thought about was I want to match fighter A versus fighter B. And I want to see this guy versus this guy. And that was it, man. And it all started with Shavers versus Ali. I fell in love with Shavers. And then when Shavers fought Holmes the first time, no, he lost to Holmes. The second time he was training it in the Catskills. And I played hooky from school. How I got out there, I can't even remember. But I know I took a bus out there. The cops were at my apartment in Queens, and my mother was outside when I came home because I didn't show up for school, and she smacked me and stuff like that because I went out there to watch Shavers train. I was like 11 years old.
Oh, wow.
I was like infatuated with Shavers, man. You know, and to this day, I still have the shirt. Ernie Shavers, next champ, you know, and that's how it all started, man.
That's crazy. 40 years later, yeah. Getting inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Canna in Nebraska says, "Hello, can you elaborate on why To Go was chosen over Jeremiah Nakatilia for Keyshawn Davis? Thanks for coming on the show."
He was the only one that took the fight as far as the two previous guys that didn't.
Was Nakatilia on the list? Did he get an offer?
No, Nakatilia was fighting somebody else.
Mm. Two other guys. Brandon says, through a Hall of Fame matchmaker's eye, you answered that. Is Ryan Garcia ready for Gervonta Davis?
I'm not saying Ryan's not. I'm just saying they can go another route. You know, it doesn't have to be. Both guys can fight different guys and do it at a later time.
This is a good question.
Mm-hmm.
From D. Jones, after the retirement of Hall of Fame promoter Bob Arum, what is the projection of Top Rank with Todd DeBuff? What can fans expect?
We're still going to keep going strong. We got a great staff, man.
But does he take over the ship? Is it a one man? Like,
it's a whole thing. Todd obviously is on top, but we have unbelievable executives with Brad Jacobs, who runs, you know, a ton of stuff, Carl Moretti and Jeremy the lawyer and stuff. And we got an unbelievable staff. Todd is a brilliant, brilliant guy. He's constantly thinking, doing things, different things. And, you know, we're here to stay, man. We ain't going anywhere.
But do you expect any changes from, you know?
No. It's all about, you know, being in the right place at the right time, and Todd knows what he's doing. We're all.
I only say that because he's like, you know, 50 years younger, so it's got to be a difference between him and Bob.
Yeah. Oh, Bob is an icon. You know, everybody knows Bob. Todd is more, you know, laid back, you know, and stays, you know, behind the scenes.
I wish you'd be more. I remember a time when he was more in the camera, more doing interviews.
I like that, you know.
But he was Eddie before Eddie.
Yeah.
He was the sharp,
Eddie
well-dressed guy.
Yeah.
You know, talked well, but he just stopped.
Yeah, he's just not like that. He doesn't, you know, that's more like Carl. Carl does that, Brad Jacobs.
But Carl.
Yeah.
Carl's the one that said Devin was a good little fighter.
Yeah.
Now you got it.
I mean, he just said that about Floyd Schofield. You know what I'm saying?
Good little fighter.
No, I don't mean that disrespectfully, good little fighter. When I said about Devin Haney's a good little, I meant that.
Carl. See, Here's the thing. Nestor was in Cancun in 2019 when Lomachenko and and Carl were out there, and he felt that Devin was deserving of that fight. And you know, I'm gonna be honest, the whole franchise shit was bullshit. Like just to the sport, not even in that situation. Yeah. In the sport.
But now that Devin's with Top Rank, you can tell us that you guys sent. You went to the convention to purposely not fight him because you knew
I don't even go to the conventions, man.
You're a matchmaker. You knew that fight was coming up. Would Devin beat Lomachenko back then, yes or no?
I don't know. Honestly, man. I think it's a
now you needed the experience though. I do prefer this version.
You're tight with Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Ask Bill what I think. I keep it 100, bro. I told Bill what I think.
So I guess the last one, truly the last one.
Well,
you got more.
I'll leave with this. Well, I just wanted to close.
Is Devin and Shakur 47? Are we waiting that long?
It could be, like you said, it could be 35. It could happen then. It could happen 40. I don't know. I want to say both guys are moving in a different direction. Shakur is fitting in at 35. Devin, I think, is slowly moving to 40. And I think once Shakur starts going to 40, I think Devin is going to fill out and move to 47.
So we're talking 47.
Yeah. But who knows? Maybe once Shakur gets to 47. They're both growing, man. It's amazing. I mean, I saw such an unbelievable difference.
It's the Top Rank way, though. Like, you guys clear the way. Like, for instance, who was there? Oh, it was Valdez was there,
mm-hmm.
and then he moved up and allowed it for Shakur. Then Shakur moved up, allowed it for Navarrete, and so on and so forth. So it's
Valdez moved up because he didn't want the Shakur fight at 26. Yeah.
I saw such a difference in size with Loma and Haney. Haney was huge in New York, man.
This ain't no lightweight. This is a heavyweight.
he had to be about 70 something, man. He was huge, man.
Shout out to James Lockwood.
You know, that's why he plays for that nutrition during camp. I just wanted to hear before we let you go your favorite memory from your first tenure at Top Rank. You know, when you started, what's one of your favorite memories during that 10-year or so period?
Just being blessed, you know, being able to travel, meeting the fighters, you know, having great bosses, soaking in the knowledge, watching Aram from 83 all the way to where he is now. It's amazing how sharp he still is, even at this age, man. He still thinks, even though he's slowing down physically, the mental part is still amazing, man. He's still thinking, and he thinks sharp. It's amazing. Mm. So I'm blessed in that sense, you know, to be around all that stuff and meet, you know, the people and things like that.
When In this career, did you start thinking Hall of Fame?
I never did.
Never?
You know, I always said, I should be. And I'll tell you a funny story. Ed Brophy says, Brad, Ed Brophy, here, you know, you're going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. How do you feel about this? I said, well, you want to know my honest opinion? He goes, well, yeah. And so, I should have been inducted 5 years ago.
Mm.
Because this year, there are people more deserving than me. Five years ago.
But deserving in your job title or in your category of non-participant?
In that category.
Okay.
Whereas 5 years ago or 6 years ago, I felt like I was a little bit more deserving. You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Non-participant is the same as Sylvester Stallone, no? Same category?
No, I think that I'm not. It could be. I think I'm in like that the judges, and you know, you get awarded for, you're a Hall of Famer because I can judge a round better than you. I can judge a 10-8 round better than you.
Yo, I gotta ask because, and this is obviously nothing to do with what you do, but I went to the very first card you ever matched make on Boxrec, at least, right? I went to that. The same fucking referees and judges that were on that card we see today. Like, does the commission not know that these guys are slowing down and they're not as sharp?
Which one was it? Was it?
It was an Orleans card.
It was an Orleans. Yeah, I did. They're missing a lot, man. They're missing a lot of Laughlin shows. When Gary Shaw first started,
man, you worked for Gary.
Yeah, I did Gary's. I did all of Gary's stuff in Laughlin, man. He did all them Laughlin shows, man. I used to do every show for him.
But that wouldn't cover the Angulo days, right?
No. That's when he moved up, you know, to the Showtime and, you know, anything that became a conflict with Top
Time. What happened to Gary? I know Rock Nation put him out, but, yeah. Like, did he turn away? Is he gone?
Faded. I think he just faded out.
Wow.
But anything that became, like, a conflict, I never, you know, made it into, you know, Top Rank was always number one.
Oh, and Thompson just passed away. That's crazy.
He was a great man.
I can't believe I received that email, man. RIP,
yeah.
Man. That's
great, man.
Unfortunate.
Oh, so there's like numerous. So they have a modern category for the Boxing Hall of Fame, women's modern, old timer, women's trailblazer, pioneer.
I always said it. When I started, I always said I want to be the first podcast, so they better not induct another podcast before us.
Yeah, no, you the biggest, champ.
Yeah, but they can induct someone else. But that is all our questions. You have any social media you want to give out?
I don't have nothing, man.
None of that. Just head on over to toprank.com.
That's me, man. Just my phone number, and that's it, man.
Appreciate
I'm not on
it.
Any social media or nothing.
Well, Brad, we do appreciate having you and joining us, and hopefully, you know, this is the first of many more to come.
Hopefully, man. I really enjoyed it, man. You guys were great, and you have a great setup, man, and you guys were great, man. Thanks
all
again.
All right. Appreciate it. Well,
we got 8 minutes, so we're going to take three.
All right.
Three what?
Evan Korn, you guys have brought him into the matchmaking team.
Yes, yep. He's doing very well.
So
he got a good head on his shoulders, man. He knows his stuff.
That's some young blood.
Yeah. You know, I mean, listen, Bruce basically learned from the best in Teddy Brenner. I learned from the best in Bruce. Now he's going to learn from us.
Mm.
It's going to take a while, but he already had a good head on his shoulders. He knows the foreign 6-round kids and stuff like that. And he has a lot of connections to begin with. So he's going to be all right, man.
When do you think we get to see his debut of like a card he match made? How long does that process
take? Well, he's not going to match make the whole card. You know, we're just, you know, looking around, you know, Keyshawn's brother. He's fighting on April 8th in Newark. We're looking around for opponents. He's searching. Calling some people, you know, things like that, you know, slowly and gradually.
Okay. No, I know, because I know Boxrec sometimes lists the matchmaker. I'm sure that would be something.
No, he ain't getting on there yet. he got to earn that, man.
That's what I mean. That's
you
what I mean.
Earn
like,
it, man.
When do you foresee something like that? Like, how long does it take for something like that?
Probably an 8-round fight, once he gets to that 8-round level.
All right. Well, there you go, Evan Sutton. Work towards, and congratulations to Evan, obviously, on that, you know, new job.
But, hey, let's give Evan credit, though. When you mentioned Big Baby and Jared, he thought of that fight.
Mm.
He was the one that thought of that.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Well.
So let's give him 6 rounds. Then we'll put him on box.
6 rounds. Well, Brad, once again, thank you.
Thank you.
You know, we'll make sure to definitely get you back on.
Yep.
Absolutely.
But to everybody else tuned in, make sure to tune in tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. Pacific, 9 a.m. Eastern. Ringwalk, Danny, Ness, GTO, The Boxing Voice. Peace.
Peace. That was great. guy a few times. Yeah, I mean, I talked to that guy a few times. He just thought he knew so much. And he was... All right. Welcome back, ladies.
If you could put the headphones on so you'd be able to hear
us. Yeah,
make sure to subscribe and smash that like button while you're at it. Make sure to subscribe and smash that like button while you're at it. The commercial, guys.
Absolutely. Let's
get
Brad
settled in. Make sure to subscribe and smash that like button while you're at it.
All right. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are in for it. All right. Welcome back, ladies. All right. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are in for a treat as we are joined with newly inducted, right?
Or you get inducted this summer, right? June. Guys, could we get his mic, please? Ah, there we go. Summer, right?
June.
Guys, could we get...
You said in
this,
June. Yeah
this June,
in June.
Congratulations, Brad, first and
Brad?
Foremost.
Nope.
Okay. Job titles you may have?
Nope.
Okay.
Not that I know of. I'm just top ranked.
Just known. But you are known within the industry, you know, you and that before.
I've heard it.
We had a little bit of difficulty.
I've heard it, you know, but, you know, we're humble about it, and we just let people, you know, say it, and we just do our job. That's what we're supposed to do.
We had a little bit of difficulty explaining, you know, it's like any guest today.
It depends. Matchmakers have a lot. A lot of categories. You could be a matchmaker working for a small club show where you can put on any kind of fight and just think like a fan and say, hey,
Brad,
I want to...
Could you just bring the mic a bit closer to you? Thank you.
Good?
Yep.
Better. It depends. Matchmakers have a lot of... Just think like a fan and say, hey,
Brad,
I want to... Good?
Yep.
Better?
Yes, sir.
Very better.
Think like a fan and say, hey, I want to make this fight and not protect you, guy. And I did that at the beginning, the Orleans Hotel. I put on barn burner fights. Chase Smith, Jesse Feliciano, I don't know if you guys are you familiar with, but then you have, you can work for a big promotion. And then you have to protect the A side, but yet sort of make it entertaining.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another edition of the Boxing Voice Radio. I am your host, Nestor Gibbs, joined alongside Rinwalk Danny, and we're here to discuss the WBO ordering the title fight between Josh Teller and Teofimo Lopez. The fight's already in talks, Danny. It's all wondering, are we actually going to get it?
Yeah, look, man, Team Taylor seems to believe so, at least the members that I've spoken to recently, good friends of mine. You know, they're just waiting for me to get out there at this
point. They're talking about the bars we're going to go to. You know, they're looking to give me a kit to wear. For the fight.
You know, when in Scotland. Yo, I'd totally be excited for it. I think it's a great matchup. I think it's a fight that, honestly, both guys need. You know, the former disputed champ, Josh Taylor, did not really impress in his last fight. He's been very inactive since becoming undisputed to prove as well.
No real reason why this fight doesn't get made, as both boxers are with top rank. And the facts are that the WBO did send a letter issued to top rank, which both fighters are obviously promoted by. And it outlined the terms for what is now regarded as a mandatory defense. So Tio will be making a mandatory, or rather Josh Teller will be making a mandatory versus Tio. And I quote, please be advised that in the wake of the recent postponement of Josh Taylor, Jack Catterall, WBO voluntary title defense, WBO World Champion Committee is hereby ordering the commencement of negotiations for the mandatory title defense obligation in the junior welterweight division between Josh Teller and Teofimo Lopez Jr. The WBO Champion Committee Chairman Luis Batista Sales stated to promoter Bob Arum, we are scheduled to have all of Hulu. Let's
get Brad settled in. Make sure to subscribe and smash that like button while you're at it.
All right. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are in for a treat as we are joined with newly inducted, right?
Or you get inducted this summer, right?
Yeah, June.
Summer, right?
Yeah, June.
Summer, right?
Yeah, in June.
Guys, could we get his mic, please? Oh, there we go. You said
I'll be there in June.
So, congratulations, Brad. First and
Brad
foremost.
Brad Goodman joining us in studio.
No.
Okay.
Not that I know of. Just known.
But you are known within the industry, you know, you and obviously Bruce as the best. Best matchmakers in boxing. Have you heard that before?
On barn burner fights, where I didn't really care who won the fights. And that's where I built up Ishe Smith, Jesse Feliciano. I don't know if you guys, are you familiar with Feliciano? I've heard it. you know, but, you know, we're humble about it, and we just...
When was it that you got into matchmaking? I mean, obviously you started it,
you know, to you know, play around with and stuff, but really officially it's sort of like in 90.
So during that time, were you working four times?
Like, you know, Dewey Cooper?
Mm-hmm.
He was a guy that I protected. But back then, the commission wasn't real.
Both. Let's do both. Obviously, you were putting on the small shows at the Orleans that were...
There's no pressure. No, he ain't getting on there yet. He got a
Pacific, 9 a.m. Eastern, Ringwalk, Danny Ness, GTO, The Boxing Boys. Peace.
Peace.
Everybody else tuned in, make sure to tune in tomorrow morning. Six. Peace.
Peace.
Get you back. You know, we'll make sure to definitely get you back on.
Yep.
Absolutely.
But to... Peace.
Peace.
Here we go. All right, I'll give you a mark. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Actually, good. Welcome to office hours, and it's light out. Not light
kind
out.
Of, and it was a complete opposite of that. When you're working from home, you're...
He is not only one of my favorite special athletes, obviously, former San Diego Charger, all-pro, unbelievable football player, entertainer. Yeah. So, what I like about his insurance-based product, because I learned about it.
Happened to me, pet. And more importantly, life insurance made more millions. I don't want to say use millennials, but in order to get people very interested, because it doesn't look cool until your life changes, and that's when it become cool. But people need to understand that this opportunity is to make ad tech where you can buy products during our fights. You know, being able to make in-fight prediction and winning money and winning prizes. We do want to be a talent pool and a respectable league for these other companies and these other MMA companies out here to say, hey, we know we can go to lights out and find the best fighters. And that's what's most important for us. By default, it was doing